Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
United States Senator Lindsey Graham's a busy man these days, but he traveled through Rock Hill on Monday with a scheduled stop here at Broadcast House to update our WRHI listeners and CN2 viewers on important issues of the day. This special extended edition of Straight Talk is made possible by Founders Federal Credit Union, by Comporium, Piedmont Medical Center, Good Pharmacy, Anderson Griggs Investments, and Substation 2. We now present the conversation with Senator Lindsey Graham. Very pleased to have with us today, not only on WRHI, but CN2, United States Senator Lindsey Graham.
Well, thanks for having me.
I can't believe that you've been in this job 24 years.
I know.
I've been in this place 40 years.
You look better than I do.
No, I don't know about that. And you and I have done this back and forth
a
number of times.
Well, it was fun. Times. Number one, people listen to your station. It gives me a chance to tell them what's on my mind. And you know, you're a good friend. So you've got a good business here. And I like coming by and talking to people. And there are more places to go than there are of me. But this is a must stop.
Well, thank you so much. Well, I've heard you talk about it on the national news, but I want to get you here locally. This whole issue about what's going on in Iran.
Yeah.
We now have started a blockade.
Right. I'll tell you all about that.
Yeah. If you can, in terms of what he's, I don't know how much more pressure we could put on them.
A lot.
Before they absolutely acquiesce and say, hey, you know what? Okay. We understand.
Well, so what are we talking about here? Something that's been going on for a very long time.
Yeah. Too long.
So, I ask this question every time I'm in a group. How many of you believe if the Iranians, the Ayatollah and that gang, had a nuclear weapon, they would actually use it? What do you think?
100%.
Okay. Well, if you believe that, like I do, and if you don't believe that, you shouldn't be allowed to drive in the local area because they've done everything they can tell you to convince you that they mean it. Well, why would they use it? For religious purposes. So the Nazis in World War II had a master race theory about the world.
That's right.
And they wanted to kill all the Jews. I don't know why. I mean, your grandfather was a major player in World War II. I don't know why people think that way, but Hitler wrote a book. Nobody believed him.
Yep.
After World War I, people didn't want to believe that they had to confront evil again. And a lot of things happened to allow Hitler to get stronger when he could have been stopped because risk aversion.
Right.
But every now and then, people come along with crazy ideas, and they get worse if you don't confront them. If you could go back in time, what would you have done differently in the 30s? A lot.
Yeah.
So this regime has been trying to get a nuclear weapon, not peaceful power. There are a bunch of countries have nuclear power programs to generate electricity that don't enrich uranium. Well, you know, Iran should be one of those countries. You can't have a bomb without enrichment. But you can't have nuclear power without it because they can provide Absolutely. You the fuel rod. So what's been going on? Trump was told they were about 3 weeks away from having enough highly enriched uranium to make 8 to 10 bombs. During the peace negotiations earlier on in the last year, Iran boasted that they've got 60% uranium at 900 pounds worth. Well, if you get to 90%, that's weapons grade.
Right.
It's about 3 weeks to go from 60 to 90. And when Trump was told that, he blew up their enrichment facilities called Midnight Hammer. Then they tried to start a new program before the dust settled. Then he went to Epic Fury to make sure this regime can't produce missiles to hit us in Europe, that they can't develop a nuclear weapon, and they're going to stop being the largest state-sponsored terrorism. That's what this is all about. Trump has done something other people haven't done, should have been done. Now, what are we doing now? The Strait of Hormuz is a real contest. So Trump, I think, very cleverly has put a blockade around the Iranian ports, not the straits. Anything going into the Iranian ports will be stopped. And they can't send people out. Now, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Their lifeblood of the Iranian economy is oil and gas. If you blockade those ports, you cut off their money. I think this is a smart move.
And they also showed us their ballistic missile capability.
Yes.
When they fired that thing at Diego Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 2,500 miles.
Well, they showed they've been cheating. Yeah. All the people complaining about Trump, the Europeans and others, well, your model of controlling the Iranian regime didn't work. They're not supposed to have any 60% highly enriched uranium. That's threshold material. There is no commercial purpose for uranium over 5%, really. 20% for medical isotopes, maybe, but they've never produced one medical isotope. So they've been cheating. And they were supposed to have a limit on their missile program. They were not supposed to be able to deliver a missile as far as they did. So they've been cheating.
Yeah.
And Trump's not going to let them cheat.
Exactly. But you know, there is a price to pay for doing the right thing.
Yep.
And what I worry about is that we have, if we took this generation and put them back in World War II, we'd never make it.
Well, here's what I do worry about. Is if you're on a fixed income or you're out there working, raising a couple of kids, a $4 gallon gas is tough. I get that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not, I don't diminish that. But the reason gas is this $4 is if Iran got a nuclear weapon, it'd be at whatever price they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So you pay now, you pay later. And I think we're absorbing the cost now to prevent it from getting worse later. And if you don't do things like that, you'll have another Hitler on your hands. And I think they would use a nuclear weapon. I think they'd blow all the Jews up if they could. They say it. They mean it. They got a lot of American blood on their hands. So I know it's painful right now, but you got to look. The president has to think beyond gas prices for the moment. He's got to think about the America's national security and our allies for the long term. And Trump's the right guy at the right time.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot different than sending airplane loads of money over there.
Well, there's two models with Iran, you know. Try to butter them up, try to give them a bunch of money, try to be nice to them or stand up to them. The Obama-Biden model didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Trump model will work. I think in weeks, not months, we'll have regained control of the straits, that if they fire back at us, that we'll finish a couple of weeks of military campaign. Then that 900 pounds of highly enriched uranium that's at the bottom of the enrichment sites, they ever got their hands on that, they could make a dirty bomb or maybe enrich it even further. Kerguelen is their economy. It's an island where all their gas and oil infrastructure resides in Iran. If you control that island, you control that economy. And I think it's very important we get that 900 pounds of highly enriched uranium out of Iran so it can't be used ever again.
We could spend the whole half hour talking about this.
We won't.
All right. Let's go to something closer to home, which is the Save America Act.
Right.
I am shocked.
Me too.
That we don't have 100% of both sides of the aisle buying into a simple thing like, hey, show me your ID and you can vote.
Well, that's a good point. There are four things to it. An ID to vote. You got to show an ID to do almost anything. An ID to vote. You got to be a citizen to vote. What a novel idea. boys can't play girls' sports. And minors can't transition their sex because they're minors.
Right.
It's like 90%, 85%. The 15% that disagree with this control the Democratic Party. They're the most radical people on the planet. They think that voter ID is somehow racism. They had voter ID laws in New Hampshire and a proof of citizenship. Nobody thinks New Hampshire is a crazy place. Georgia passed, election integrity reform as Jim Crow 2.0. The last election, they had the most African-American participation in the history of the state. So this is just radical people have intimidated the Democratic Party so they can't say yes to four things that make all the sense in the world.
So the big question is, we're rolling up to the midterms before we know it. And will President Trump have the control of Congress like he has right now? It's a narrow
control.
Well,
right. That's a good question. Right now, we're running into the headwinds. Gas has gone up. We're in power.
Right.
But here's where I think we'll be in October. I think in October, the war will have wound down in Iran, and we'll be moving toward peace between Saudi Arabia and Israel. The most dramatic thing in 3,000, 2,000 years. Abraham Accords plus. This is Abraham Accord on steroids. Just imagine the keeper of the Holy Mosque in Mecca and Medina, the Center of Islam, Saudi Arabia, recognizes the one and only Jewish state. I think that's possible only if you get Iran in a box. October the 7th attack on Israel was designed to stop normalization between Saudi and Israel, which is Iran's worst nightmare. And it worked, but we can't let it work permanently. So I know President Trump wants to pivot to peace as the war winds down. I've been to Saudi, Israel a bunch. It's in our interest if we can end the Arab-Israeli conflict and maybe one day move some of our soldiers out because the Mideast has changed. Look at all the death and destruction coming from that region.
Awful.
It would change overnight if Saudi recognized Israel. So I'm all over this. I tried to help Biden. I want to help President Trump. People ask me, why do you go over there? Well, to make sure they don't come here. I go over there to find out what's going on so it doesn't hit us. And when somebody hits us, they say, well, why didn't you know about that? You can't have it both ways. So what I do is I try to make sure people here in Rock Hill and York, you know, your needs are met. You know, I got a great constituent service office and proud of my Rock Hill crowd. And we do a lot of things. We deal with road, water, sewer, and the Ayatollah. I like my job.
Now, you've been down there a long time.
Yeah.
And you've seen the art of compromise kind of.
It's harder today because of, yeah. Imagine writing the Constitution today.
Oh my God.
I thought that'd be a good Saturday Night Live skit. You have all the cable companies out there. Ben Franklin said this, and, you know, Jefferson said that. But it's a divided time, but America's been divided before. I think Trump is looking at his job, not from the next election, but from how to keep us safe and prosperous as to the next election. I think we got a good chance to keep the Senate, maybe even pick a seat up. We're at 53. We got to hold North Carolina, and we got to hold Maine. Those are two seats where Republicans represent the state. So they're coming after those two. Pickups, Georgia. Ossoff's a nice fellow, but he's as liberal as they come. You got Michigan and New Hampshire. So I think we're in good shape to hold the Senate. Now, what does that mean? I'm judiciary chairman if I win and we hold the Senate next term. I'm going to crank out as many conservative judges as I possibly can. When I was chairman before, we did hundreds. Two Supreme Court nominees, probably be a vacancy on the court, maybe a retirement. So if I get to be chairman of the Judiciary Committee and we hold the Senate, no matter what happens in the House, we're going to crank out judges. So vote for me. I think I'm the guy who can do it. I don't talk about it. I actually did it. I think I'm the best guy to help President Trump in this race. I think I'm probably the best guy in the Senate to help him, no matter what state you live in. So I'm running, and I hope people will give me a chance to serve again. What else?
Ukraine.
One big, beautiful bill will get to Ukraine. We passed that last year. It's going to pay dividends. You're going to see more money in your pocket.
Oh, yeah.
That border's secure. Trump does things too quick. He took the most out-of-control border in the history of the country and secured it. And it's like, we moved on. Any other president would have done that. Venezuela. We took the narco-terrorist leader of our backyard, and he's in jail in New York. Cuba's going to fall, the communist state. This guy is just a force of nature. Ukraine. We need to end this war. It's been a bloodbath. How do you do it? You want to end it in a way that doesn't start a new war. You don't want to sell out Ukraine because there goes Taiwan. Right. China's watching. But we got to realize you're not going to evict every Russian from Ushkine. So I'm working with Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff, the two friends of the president who are doing all this stuff. We met with Zelensky a couple of weeks ago. We're trying to find a way to wind down the war, to make sure that Ukraine won't be invaded the third time, have security guarantees, security partnerships. You know, Ukraine actually is helping us in the Mideast. They sent drones. They sent a lot of stuff. What have we learned? A lot of Europeans won't fight. Ukraine will fight. I'd rather have them on our side than most anybody else in Europe. These people actually fight. So I'm hoping we can wind down the war this summer in a way that won't lead to another war, and Ukraine will be standing and survive, and not out to humiliate Russia, but, you know, we've got to make sure they don't do this again.
Mm. So how proud of you are you of the astronauts in Artemis?
It's American or best, right?
My God.
You know, the astronauts look like our country. The mission was flawless. We say flawless. It's amazing that all this works. Just one little thing goes wrong. But it speaks to American spirit. They came back with a smile on their face. They did something no one's else ever done. And, you know, we got problems and we're not perfect, but we ought to sit back every now and then and just admire ourselves a bit.
Yeah.
We're a good country. We can do things nobody else can do. With all our problems, we're a great country, and we are the glue that holds the world together. And President Trump has played his cards well. He's been able to deal with the bad guys, killing Soleimani without getting us entangled in big wars. The best way to prevent a big war is to win the little wars. And sometimes you have to use force to stop bad and evil. Yeah. The goal is to use it quickly with a purpose. So as to me, I think I'm at the top of my game, Manny. I think I'm in a good spot. I feel good. Institutionally, I'm the budget chairman. The reconciliation train is running again. I'm going to do round two reconciliation. We're going to start that next week when I get back. We're going to load up the Border Patrol and ICE with all the money they need through the Trump term. We can do that without one Democratic vote. Democrats refuse to fund the Border Patrol and ICE. Well, that's ridiculous. But through reconciliation, I can get that done. I can give the president all the money he needs to secure the border and keep ICE up and running without one Democratic vote. That's going to be my job as budget chairman. I was the chairman of the One Big Beautiful Bill that came through my committee. I helped write that bill and got it through the Senate. So I'm very proud of that. We are going to do well in November. You heard it here first. I think the Trump policies on the economy are going to show up in a real way, making people's lives better, more money in your pocket, more security at home and abroad. Just be patient. These problems he's dealing with, 15 million people overran the border during the Biden years. We're cleaning that mess up. Look what the man inherited.
Oh, I know.
You know, Afghanistan withdrawal led to just chaos in the world. And Trump slowly but surely is reestablishing America as the dominant power. And I want to help him. I just think he's the right man at the right time. And quite frankly, I think I'm the right guy at the right time in the Senate to be helping him.
The one thing that I don't hear enough conversation about is a $38 trillion debt and how we are actually going to start tackling this thing.
That, what drives the debt is there's two types of spending, discretionary spending, the money we spend on the military and Homeland Security and the Department of Education and the veterans community, that's discretionary. Every year we spend it, we change the levels. It's up to us to pass those bills. Mandatory spending. Congress doesn't have to act. Social Security and Medicare. You get your Social Security check not because we write a bill. It's mandatory. Now, there'll come a point where there'll be more money going out than more money coming in for Social Security. And we'll have to deal with that. We'll have to think of things like Reagan and O'Neill did in the 80s. Maybe adjust the retirement age. I don't know. Income. You know, when I was 21, 22, my parents died. I'm the first in my family to ever go to college. Neither one of them finished high school. Without that Social Security check, my sister was 13. We had a hard time making it. Well, you know, I'm a senator. I got a military retirement. I could take a little less to save Social Security, and I would. Got to get down, sit down with each other to make sure Social Security doesn't falter. Wow. And I'm intent on doing that.
Good. Now, I don't know whether you heard this news item. It's pretty interesting. There's a new economic iron curtain falling across America known as the Boom Belt. It's the 11 southeastern states, of which South Carolina is part of it. And we are just, our GDP from those 11 states is more than any other country in the world except for the United States and China. It's $9 trillion a year.
Now, what is what accounts for that? Good policy.
Good policy.
If you're in South Carolina from another state, you probably came here to get away from something else. Now, we got all kind of retirement communities in the area, and we love them. And we're glad you came here and, you know, help our state reach its potential. What I don't want is people bringing their politics here that left from somewhere else.
Thank you very much.
All of the retirement communities in this area have been a godsend. So what do we have? We have low taxes. It's possible to build things in the same in your lifetime. We have regulations, but not stifling regulations. We have pro-government business leaders at the state, federal, and local level. We value the dollar. We look for ways to get to yes. We have a great workforce. Why are we doing so well? The people in this region work hard. They expect an honest day's pay for an honest day's work. The 11 states here, they're all Republican, have a view of that making, you know, business is good, not bad, that there are roles in society that most of us don't believe boys should be playing girls' sports. You know, what you see in Portland in the last 5 minutes here, we're not going to turn our streets over to gangs and thugs. We're going to protect our children. This is a place that you can raise a family and start a business and pursue, worship God the way you would like. And we're going to keep it that way. And part of my job is to make sure at the federal level that the policies we enact do not destroy the model we've created here. And it's a constant fight because these other states, like voter ID, the states that don't have voter ID, they want to cheat. There's no other way to explain why you are against voter ID other than I think you just want to cheat. So we got a fight on our hands. We want to make sure that California and Portland, they don't come to South Carolina in terms of policy. So make sure you vote for people who are electable. You know, one of my opponents is had one of his staff members step on the, you know, the Talmud, the Torah, the religious guidepost for the Jewish people. And I'm a Christian, but you know, God blesses the state of Israel. Those who bless Israel will be blessed by God. I believe that. There's an anti-Israel component in our party that just is insane, in my view, in terms of Israel's a friend, not an enemy. Israel fighting people would kill us if they could get here. And every dollar you give Israel is a dollar that makes you safer. And they don't want money from us. You know, we have a great business relationship. The investment we make in the Israeli military, they give us technology we wouldn't have otherwise. So whatever aid we give to Israel for their security is more than worth it. Mm-hmm. So I'm a low tax, social conservative. I don't mind working cross aisle when it makes sense. I like solving problems. And I think I'm probably one of the closest people to President Trump in Washington. We play a lot of golf, always lose. It's not because I try to lose. He's just better than I am. Maybe one day I'll catch him if when he's 100, I might beat him because I'll be 90. I don't know if anybody would want to watch that match. But the point is...
You'd be surprised.
Yeah. Well, I'll talk to him about that. The point is that, you know, I just feel like I'm in a good spot here, and the world is on fire. If we, you know, China's not going to be contained by just being nice to him. Trump's trying to have a good relationship with China. But how did the border get secured? He told Mexico, if you don't help us secure the border, every product coming across the border, we're going to put a tariff on it. Mm-hmm. He's got the Europeans to do things nobody else thought the Europeans would ever do because of the threat of tariffs. Same with China. So Trump's a tough guy, but he's a smart guy. And it's kind of a magical time for me. He's... resetting the world without getting us deeply involved in long-standing wars, and Iran's not Iraq or Afghanistan. It will conclude here pretty soon. I've just marveled at what he's been able to do in a year and a half.
He's a force to be reckoned with, for sure.
He's a force of nature. He asked me, you know, do you think there'll ever be another like me? And I said, well, I hope not. I meant that jokingly because he is unique to the times in which we live. Yeah. You know, this model of disruption is exactly what we need to clean the underbrush of the world.
One last question for you, because I know your time's limited. You have to circulate around the state. You circulate around the nation. I'm curious what local radio, local TV means to you in your ability to do the job that you're elected to do, because it's a big one.
It means talking to the people that I represent about the job I'm doing and why I should get reelected. It means having a conversation with people in their backyard. It means talking to folks that are not from New York and Los Angeles who run the media empire here. Mm. And it's just night and day. Without local television and local radio, my message would never... If you're looking for the national media to tell you the Lindsey Graham story, it ain't ever going to get told because... they hate my guts. Remember Kavanaugh? Mm-hmm. You know, I helped, I think, get him through. I stood up. You know, I was reasonable. I voted for most of their judges, and they were trying to ruin this guy's life and pissed me off, and sort of the rest is history. But the most money ever spent in the history of the United States Senate was to beat me because of Kavanaugh and because of my support for Trump. Now, how did I win? Well, I was able to go on local TV and local radio and advertise and get a message I would never get from the national media. So from my point of view as a political leader of a state, a Republican, it gives you a chance to be heard.
Well, Senator, we appreciate you stopping by here. When you are through the area, you need to make these trips a little more often.
I'll try to. They're just, you know, I'd love to be here more often. I'd love to be at home more often. The world events kind of take over.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I grew up in Central South Carolina, first in my family. My dad and mom owned a liquor store, beer joint, a pool room. And I'm going to meet a bunch of preachers here in a little bit. Tell them I'm sorry about that. But I learned a lot running the pool room as a kid. It helps me be a good senator. But never in my wildest dreams did I think I'd be able to do what I'm doing. And I am involved in the Mideast because the Mideast is involved in your life whether you want to be or not. Yeah. I'm close to the president. I understand what happens if Ukraine doesn't end well. So on foreign policy, after 9/11, I made a promise to myself, I'll do whatever I can to make sure that doesn't happen. Radical Islam would kill everybody listening to this program. They would be here if they could. Our goal is to fight them over there with partners like Israel, so we don't have to do it all by ourselves. So I'm very involved in what's going on in the world because what's going on in the world affects you. And I love coming home to talk about things like road, water, and sewer and what we can do, a grant here and a program there. And that to me is a very satisfying. And I got my office, you know. They'll come if you got a Social Security problem, I'll try to help you. If you got a VA problem, I'll try to help you. I got a great staff. I am very proud of my staff. And Strom said something that really resonated with me. He said life was short, which was, he was 99 when he said that. Proved to be right. He died when he was 100. But he also said, if you take care of the people, they'll take care of you.
That's right.
And I think I've tried to do that. I think my office has tried very hard to take care of people. So vote for me if you can, June 9th, primary. I think I'm ready to keep it going, help President Trump and represent our state in Washington. And I'm just honored to be here. I love the community. And every time I come, this place is growing like a weed. It's unbelievable how fast it's growing. And I want to be part of the local community to help manage that growth and accommodate it.
Senator Graham, thank you so much
thank
for being
you.
With us today.
God bless.
Our thanks again to Senator Graham and to his Rock Hill staff for making this interview possible. You can view the interview in its entirety on CN2 starting at 6:30 this Thursday evening.